Christian hymnal song number 100. Song number 90. Song number 90. A word of God incarnate. And that's the beautiful thing about this time of year, isn't it? How we commemorate how Christ came down, how God himself came down and became flesh and dwelt among us. And the reason that he did was so that he could show us how to live. He was the living word, the living message of God. Song number 90.
Thank you.
Song number 93. Christian hymnal song number 93. This is the same tune as the song Crown Him, Crown Him. It's not a song we often sing, but that is the tune. It's a familiar tune. It's the same one as Crown Him, Crown Him. So if you think of that tune, just with these words. Song number 93. This time we'll look to Brother Alan Hostetler to bring us our devotions.
Good evening. Greet each one in Jesus' precious name. Privileged to gather together tonight and to sing praises to Him and look into His Word. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Read this chapter and make a few comments then. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil, but an evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophecies. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. This scripture here is written by Paul to the Thessalonians, to encourage them to be faithful and to prepare them for when the Lord will come, for the Lord will come. He says in verse 1, the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. I think it does us good. Sometimes I like to think about just where we are in life, you know, as you think of we're all getting older, none of us are getting younger, and we can think of ourselves as maybe, you know, we were young and that was a lot of our life, but now we're older, you know, we have grandchildren and some of us. And those we know that time goes on and those that were a part of us or were with us are not here anymore. But we are here tonight. But it's good for us to think about, you know, maybe where we are in life as we think of time and the seasons. Here it says seasons. We're in this Christmas season, again, celebrating Christ's birth coming on. But to realize that, you know, life isn't going to go on the same. And it's important for us to think about that if any time or, you know, just say right now, if time would cease, would we be happy? Would we be content with our life and where we're going to spend eternity? Because that's just how frail life is, I believe. We have no promise of tomorrow or of tonight or anything. It's just, so it's important to think about that and to live for the Lord now. In verse 5, in between there he says how it'll come upon us and suddenly it'll be there. Verse 5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So in other words, we're not just walking and going through life in the dark, groping about and not knowing where we're going. He says in verse 6, let's not sleep as do others. In other words, living our life carelessly or not awake, not in reality. But let us watch and be sober. Watch and be sober, serious-minded. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. Verse 8, but let us, there he says us, it's to us personally, who are of the day, those that have named the name of Christ and accepted salvation of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet, the hope of salvation. David was speaking to us this morning about faith. You know, what does faith look like? Here it says the breastplate of faith. First of all, I had to think, you know, well, what is our faith? What is your faith? What do you believe? You know, we would think of that, or I would think of that as our faith is in our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? If we accept him, he died for us, and we can have our sins forgiven. That's our faith, is in the Lord. So how do we do this? Put on the breastplate of faith. The breastplate, that's a protection. And so as we name the name of Christ and accept Christ, well, there's things that we need to put off. First of all, it talks about, I think it's in Ephesians, and then things to put on. Here it says, put on the breastplate of faith. It's a protection of what we believe and what Christ means to us. There's things that we have to practically put on and protect us from the evils and places maybe we'd say we go and things we do, things we wear. Not that that stuff is makes us any more righteous or anything like that, but it's there as a protection. This is what I believe. This is what God would have me to do. This is what lines up with Scripture, so therefore it's a protection. It's a breastplate. And we have to make things practical and make that decision, what it is. And he says, breastplate of faith and love, so important, that part of love, Christ's love for us, our love for one another. And it says, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. A helmet also is a protection. And what does a helmet protect? A helmet protects our head, doesn't it? It's head protection. So as you think of that, I don't know, that's kind of the way I thought about it, is the things we see, things we hear, things we eat, things we take in, and the things we think. So it's all, that's this helmet of salvation. It does make a difference. You know, we can think, well, it's just all in the heart. We can, these other externals, it doesn't matter, but, you know, it does really. It really does. It says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. That wasn't his purpose to destroy us, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. And then whether we wake or sleep, in other words, whether we're alive when he returns or we're still here, he says we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. As we do, as we come together in church settings and worship services such as this. And then the last part here of this chapter is just his encouragement on how to practically put to practice and how to live. He tells us there in verse 12 to know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord, are the ministers, those that admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And then in verse 14 through 22, just kind of in short here, he gives them different reminders. Verse 14, warn the lazy. Here it says, warn those that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient to all men. Here it says, do good to everyone, always be joyful, always praying, be thankful, test everything that is taught, and stay away from evil. Paul concludes this letter with two benedictions and a request for prayer. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. You know, there's things that may come in our life that, you know, it's hard to rejoice about, but we can rejoice that God is in control and He loves us. He allows things to come in our life for our good. And then he says in verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and pray God, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless till the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. That's a beautiful promise there that we have. Faithful is he who calleth you. You know, God doesn't ask us to do anything that he's not able to or that he will not give us the strength to live up to and to do. He also will do it. And then he says, brethren, pray for us. So let's pray for one another that we could be faithful to him until the Lord return. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Lord, we come before you this evening. We want to thank you for your love to us. Thank you for sending Jesus that we could be redeemed and that we can have a hope in you and live for you. Help us to walk with you that we might be found watching and ready when you will return for us or for us individually. Lord, we just know that our time and our lives are in your hands. Pray your blessing upon each one here this evening, and as we fellowship together and sing these songs, that it would be from our heart and just be with each one as we go forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Alan, for sharing those thoughts. The life of the Christian should be a life with purpose. And I think that is something that in today's society, you know, there's a lot of talk about that, but we have purpose. We have a reason for living. And it's not just for our gain, but it's for God. Another blessing is that God has made available all the essentials to live out the life, the Christian life. And it's there. It's waiting for us. We just simply have to avail ourselves to that. And that's the other, another reason for the Christmas season. God sent Jesus, his only son, to redeem us. Appreciate those thoughts. In your church hymnal, turn to number 101.
Oh.
right, it's time for the children's singing, so all the children can come forward and stand up here in front.
Thank you, Kristen, and thank you, children. You did a good job tonight. Good job on your singing. Thank you very much. Okay, in your Christian hymnals, turn to song number 99. After this song, we're going to have a men's group in charge of William. Song number 99, we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 5. First, second, and last verses. Song number 99.
Oh, thou didst fill thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no
Good evening. We have two songs to sing tonight, and the first one is about Christ's birth. And one thing the first verse says, it just shows the comparison of what the world was like before he came and then after he came. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. And then a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And it's so wonderful that we have that assurance that when Christ comes into our lives, we have a hope to look forward to. And our second song has to do with what God commands us to do in going and telling others about him and to just spread the word of Christ to those around us and to go tell it on the mountain.
Soul felt its worth.
thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
His power in all.
Thank you, men, for sharing those songs. I think we'll take two selections from you out of either book. If you have a song.
533 in the church hymn.
533 in the church hymn. To help me. I don't recognize that tune. I'll give you the pitch. I think I do remember that. One of the blessings of being over there in Oklahoma was David Raymer, because he'd often lead some of these songs that were new to the rest of us. So, all right, another song.
631.
631, in which book?
In the church.
Okay. There is a land of pure delight. 631. John Mishler has consented to give a history of a song, and I guess when we sang this song at Charles's funeral, Victory in Jesus, reminded me of when Chris and I was in Chicago street meetings, and we sang that song at the Pacific Garden Mission, and some of you have been there, and we started singing that song, and that's a fairly large building with tall ceilings. And that whole area just came alive. And whether they were singing it from the heart, I guess we're not the judge, but it was interesting being there. So we'll give John his time.
Good evening. This song, Victory in Jesus, was written by Eugene Monroe Bartlett, Sr. He's considered one of the founding fathers of Southern gospel music. He was born on Christmas Eve in 1885 near Waynesville, Missouri. Bartlett relocated to Sebastian County, Arkansas with his parents. Bartlett dedicated his life to Jesus at an early age. Bartlett attended the Hall Moody Institute in Martin, Tennessee, and William Jewell College, Liberty, Missouri. Bartlett lived in the South and enjoyed a reputation as a fine music teacher. Based in Arkansas, he traveled the entire southern portion of the country, holding singing schools for anyone interested. Those in similar schools trained aspiring musicians in vocal technique, sight reading, and conducting, and were influential in the development of church music as a whole for much of the remainder of the century. Eugene M. Bartlett, Sr. met and married Joan Tatum in 1917. They were parents to two sons. Gene Bartlett, Jr., a nationally known writer of contemporary church music, and Charles Bartlett, minister of music in a large Texas church. Eugene M. Bartlett Sr. was a very successful businessman and decided to invest his money, in which he founded the Hartford Music Company in Hartford, Arkansas, sometime in 1918. Within the first year of business, he sold more than 15,000 copies of his hymn book. Many writers, singers, and musicians received their first opportunity in gospel music at Hartford Music Company, including Albert E. Brumbley, who wrote "I'll Fly Away" and "Turn Your Radio On." Bartlett's mission was to publish hymns and teach singers to sight read. He hired instructors to teach voice, piano, piano tuning, rudiments, harmony, and stringed instruments. He was also the editor of the music magazine Herald of Song. His son Eugene Jr. was also a hymnist and composer. When he was not instructing, Bartlett was an avid composer of hymns and gospel songs. Though almost all of his songs have sunk into oblivion among the Christian body today, "Victory in Jesus" remains one of the most popular and widely known songs of the church. In 1939, a stroke rendered Bartlett partially paralyzed and was unable to perform or travel. He spent the last 2 years of his life bedridden. Amid such bleak circumstances, he wrote his final and most beloved song, "Victory in Jesus," an optimistic number that has been sung by millions in church and worship services and recorded by gospel's biggest names. The three verses and refrain enthusiastically tell of one's own personal salvation experience from beginning to end. It's said that Bartlett missed traveling and teaching, but he could still study the Bible, a study from which he gave us a wonderful song during a time when much of the earth sat on the brink of World War II. The song first appeared that year in the Gospel Choruses, a paperback songbook published by James Vaughn in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. Only 2 years after his stroke, Bartlett died January 25, 1941. He's buried in Oak Hill Cemetery in Siloam Springs in Benton County. Throughout his 56 years of his life, Bartlett composed more than 800 songs. Since the early 1960s, "Victory in Jesus" has become popular among evangelical congregations. Quartets and many hymnals have included it within their published pages. So I don't know if we have the music this, but I think we kind of more or less know it by heart. I'll read the first stanzas of each verse. We've got three verses here. The first one is, "I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory." The second one is, "I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing." And the third one, "I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory." So if you care to, you could stand to sing this.
I heard about his
Thank you, John. I find that interesting that this man was born in lowly little Warrensburg, Missouri. I guess that's, if you think about it, Christ was born in a lowly little town, but it's not where we're from that defines us, it's who we are, isn't it? I think I heard a number over here before. Did someone call out a number that didn't? No. Okay. In that case, Christian hymnal. Let's sing. Tell you what. Let's sing song number 95 by memory. O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. I think we can do that. Sounded so good having everyone sing by memory just now that kind of loath to go back to the books. Okay, O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. And after this song, Miss Andrea, is going to have her room come up and sing for us. And then after that, we're going to go right into a girls' group in charge of Rachel. So Andrea's room and then Rachel. O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem.
Oh, O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shining afar.
Andrea.
missing several people tonight, so if the second and third grade want to come up too, that would be great.
Be a big help to them. No room, no room, sir. Good evening. We have had a wonderful time Christmas caroling the last few nights, and tonight we're going to be singing It Came Upon a Midnight Clear and O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And if it wouldn't be for Christ's birth, we wouldn't have the resurrection, and I'm so thankful for it.
Thank you, Miss Andrea, for those songs, and children for helping, and also for the girls. Lynn Ropp once said, as we were working one day together, he said, He said, I know. He said, you like men's quartets and so on. But he said, you know, he said, I like the ladies' groups. He said, he thinks that there's something about it that is really inspiring to him. One of those memories. Sometimes we talk about our childhood memories, and one of the childhood memories, I guess, that I remember of my home, my dad took a piece of plywood and made a 4-foot star, approximately, and he painted it white, and he put black lettering on there, on it that said, Jesus, our star of hope. And that was something that I remember during this season. He would go out, and Mom had a rock garden in our front lawn, and he would hook up lights to both sides of that star. And but, you know, in the dark, nobody could ever see that star without the light. The light had to be shining for people to see that star. For us today, we can go about, we can wear the proper clothes, but if Jesus isn't shining within us, what are people going to see? You know, it would be snowing and blowing and that light was there, and people going down the road, they could see that. What are people seeing in our lives today? What is shining the brightest? Is it Jesus? Or is it some other passion that we have? What speaks the loudest? I want to thank everyone that has taken part this evening. I'd like to sing one more song in the Christian hymnal, 101. After this song, those that went Christmas caroling will come up and share a few numbers. 101.
A message from heaven.